Hi, everyone. This is Shanna Bromley, your host for Relationship Resurrection. We have a very special person here today, Dr. Erica Goodstone, and we're going to be talking about healing through love, the secret to a healing relationship, and healing body therapies. But before we dive in with her, let's go over really quickly what we're doing here. In this free virtual event, you are discovering the most effective spiritual and transformational principles to reconnect as a couple, physically and emotionally, creating romantic moments so you can have the happy and the sexy relationship you've always dreamed of, even if you're the only one trying. And when you take all these sessions in, you're going to walk away with hope and tangible, proven practices to elevate your relationship. Myself, along with this panel of fabulous speakers, are sharing what it means to thrive as a passionate, happy couple. You're going to learn how to break through the hidden barrier so you can feel consistently appreciated, wanted, and understood without feeling like you're dragging your partner to couples counseling. I invite you to listen in on each of these conversations to get the most out of this. It can be a game changer for you. One aha could literally change your life. Every morning, we're going to send you an email with a link to the interviews of the day, and they do expire. So watch for those in case some seem to be missing. All right, let's get to it. Today, I am delighted to introduce Dr. Erica Goodstone. Dr. Erica Goodstone, healing through love mentor and relationship healer, helps men and women, individuals and couples, gay and heterosexual, heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Dr. Erica helps her clients create and reawaken their love, passion for life, and intimate connections, including the one with their own self. She is a licensed mental health counselor and marriage therapist, board-certified sex therapist on the faculty of the International Institute for Clinical Sexology, somatic body psychotherapist, and personal life and health wellness coach. Her Healing Through Love audio series, Love Touch Heal video and book series, and her Love Transforming Love Sessions for Your Soul, in addition to her numerous powerful virtual summits, will change the way you view love, relationships, and healing forever. Welcome, Dr. Erica. I am so excited to have you here today.
And I'm so excited to speak to you in Costa Rica.
Yes.
I haven't been, but one of these days I'm going to get there.
The audience can't see, but when I'm looking at Dr. Erica right now, she actually has a beautiful palm tree and beach behind her. So I feel like we're together right now.
Because I'm in Florida.
Yes. So healing through love, what is it and what isn't it?
It's really a great question that all the people that the leading proponents, scientists, healers, when you really listen to what they're saying, they seem to all get back to love. Mm-hmm. Love is at the basis of things. If you love your life, you're healthier. Mm-hmm. Your cells know that you're loving them. They feel it. When you're angry and upset, you constrict things. Mm-hmm. You don't see as well. Your vision gets a little blurry. You don't hear as well. All kinds of things go wrong. And I want to talk later some of the details of what's going on in our body. But what love is it's so complex. It's really simple, but it's complex, that we really have to love ourselves and love the other person as they are. So we have to learn how to accept what we love about them. You meet someone, you fall in love, you love certain qualities, but whatever those qualities are, you are going to see the opposite in some way. And you're not going to like that. So that happens to all of us. We choose someone and brings up all this stuff. And it's an adventure to love someone and put all your energy into being loving.
Yes. Yes. The power of choice, I believe, is one of the most powerful powers, because it's even more powerful than love, because you have to choose.
and
a loving person.
You choose not just at one point, you choose in the moment, all kinds of moments. And I'm very good at forgetting this. Like if I'm in traffic and someone honks or cuts me off, I could get angry. But if you are really living the principle of love in the moment, you feel love for people. Like I have to move and I didn't know where I was moving to and I was feeling stressed. And then I started to say, just calm down. It will be okay. You think in the future, I've been in situations before, I'll handle it. You kind of calm down and love the process. Because even if it's a painful process, maybe you'll teach others. Maybe you'll help to prevent it for someone else later on. It may have a purpose that you don't know about.
Absolutely. The trick is really learning to open and reopen to keep that expansive state, especially during times of conflict or when the going gets rough. And it's difficult because our ego and self goes into that survival mode. And so we constrict. So it's really a learning process to keep that open state.
And it's also our thought process. Mm-hmm. We think and we believe it's supposed to be a certain way.
Yeah.
If I'm in love and he loves or she loves me, it should be this way. Mm-hmm. But it's not that way. The person gets jealous. The person has their own background. They read into it something based on the way their parents treated them, or their girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or spouse. Whatever went on before has an effect. And then I'll talk a little more, maybe a little later, about the brain and all the different parts of us.
I really love how you were talking about how you were feeling constricted and stressed about your move, and then you chose to shift your perspective. And perspective, I believe, is one of the main issues of having conflict, because as humans, we have this complex that we should just think the same. And so you should be considerate the same way that I'm considerate. And if you're not, then we give this meaning to it. And the meaning is what creates all of our suffering and all of the discord that kind of comes up with that.
And there's another piece with what I've just experienced. I have a group, mastermind group, and I was talking to them and they started giving me advice. You know, maybe you shouldn't live on the ocean during hurricane season. And I forgot what else they said. But that was very helpful to me. In the moment, it felt like how annoying that they're giving me advice. But I thought about it after the situation got clarified and I have a place to live. And I looked back and I said, they were pointing out things that I wasn't thinking rationally at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because they know me and they think similar in some ways. So listen to the people around you, even if it's annoying that they give advice. You don't have to follow someone else's advice because you have to honor yourself. You really do. Yeah, but yeah, it helps to hear what they have to say, because when you're in the situation, you have blinders on. Mm-hmm. You're only seeing this, and they may see things that you can't see at the moment.
Yeah, much bigger perspective, a much bigger picture when they're on the outside of the emotions.
Another example, my friend wanted to see a doctor and I went with her to see the doctor. And afterwards she said, you know, he was yelling at me and I was sitting there. He wasn't yelling at her. It was very logical, but she took it as if he was yelling at her.
Yeah.
You know, that was amazing to me. And that's what we do as couples. Mm-hmm. If the person's yelling because maybe their tone is a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're judged and they're just saying something in the way that they say it, and they may not mean it with a judgment.
Yeah, but we see it with our particular lens on. So what is the secret to a healing relationship?
All right, the first thing, which it seems so simple, to know yourself, really know, what do I like? What do I value? What do I dream about? Because we forget that when we're dating someone, a new person, maybe you haven't had someone you were attracted to and you finally find someone, you forget all about the other things that matter to you, like how secure they are financially or what ambition they have or don't have, or how affectionate they are, just whatever matters to you, just understand that. And then also know the other person, who they are, what their background is. Don't overlook it. If they have a background with alcoholism or anything, that, or dishonesty in the family, you know, don't overlook these things. Pay attention. If it matches what your family and your style is, it may be okay. Doesn't matter. I mean, there's lots of people with drug addiction and alcohol addiction. They don't all get divorced and all have to live alone. They're people that work with it because there's similarities, because you really have love. Doesn't mean you have to leave, but know it, understand it, and don't pretend it's something else. So that's just the first thing. And choose a partner whose dreams and goals align with yours. That's huge.
Yeah.
If you're dreaming and wanting to do different things, you're going to be at each other's throat a lot.
It's amazing how people don't talk about their goals and their visions. And then fast forward to 1 year, we're bumping heads because we're misaligned, but we didn't talk about it. This is part of the evaluating process when we're deciding to commit to somebody. You need to know them before you commit to them.
But one of the problems is the person that we're attracted to may not match our goals for the future. Mm-hmm. It might be just an adventure for now because it's so exciting and so different, but to live with it long-term may not match you. So you have to know these things.
Yeah.
And then you really want to choose love, but not just from the brain, because we have a prefrontal cortex that's logical and that has to do with focusing and attention and concentration and execution of things and planning and impulse control, all of, and motivation. All of that is part of the prefrontal cortex. That's valuable in choosing a partner, but it's not the whole thing. If you're only choosing on logic, because I've met people years ago that logically they were really right for me, but the feeling just wasn't there. So then you have to look at your gut. You know, what do you feel in your gut? And your gut has like 50% of the dopamine and 95% of the serotonin. So if your gut is constricted and you don't feel right with this person, it doesn't matter if logically on paper they look like they're perfect.
The body knows.
The body really knows. And you also choose love because you really want this loving person based on what you want for your life, instead of, which so many people do, they haven't had a partner in a while, they're feeling lonely.
Yeah.
And there's this person, and he or she seems good enough, but they don't really have, their heart's not in it.
Yeah.
So your heart is the other part, that your heart has 5,000 times the magnetism of your brain. So let the heart speak. And you know when you feel that. The problem is sometimes your heart overpowers your brain. Because you feel so much. So that's the another piece, is to give it time.
Yes. Yes.
Like I say, in 3 months, you hardly know anything. But at least 3 months, you know something about the person. But people can hide something for a long time.
Yeah, they can hide their personality for, I believe, up to 9 months, where we can carry a facade and carry a mask before we're comfortable enough to be ourselves in a relationship.
Especially things, two things that I could think of right away. Rage.
Yeah.
Someone who has real anger and rage, you might not see that right away because everything's going well. Maybe their career is going well, but if something goes wrong, then start to see it.
Yeah.
So don't ignore however they're treating other people. If you go to a restaurant with a person and they're nasty and you see them, but they're sweet to you, pay attention to those things. That's important. So another thing is to, I just decided to call it this, be a fearless love warrior. Because
fearless love warrior.
Because when you're in the middle of it, there's going to be a time where it feels hopeless and there's real big problems and seems like the wrong person. Mm-hmm. But if you hold a vision for and remember, why did I choose this person in the first place? Remember the good qualities when it doesn't look like it.
Yeah. So I feel that there's a little bit of confusion around our internal states of excitement and bliss and in relationships, because when we first meet somebody, we decide that it's them that's making us feel so amazing. They're special. And this is why I'm feeling so elated right now, but that's actually an internal state. And then when all of a sudden, you know, fast forward a few months, there's an issue, there's a conflict, there's an argument, we constrict, again, internal, but we blame it on that person. Well, they're probably not the right person. So we really have to be responsible for our internal states and not putting all of that good or negative on the other person.
And that's why it's so important to kind of do your homework first. Mm-hmm. So that you know that you're choosing a person with these qualities.
Yeah.
Whatever they are, good or bad, you see what's there. Tell yourself the truth about it, but also know your own qualities. Mm-hmm. If you have a tendency to overreact, to get sensitive to things, to judge quickly, know that. So if someone points it out to you, you don't have to get so defensive and you can really hear them. It's complex because we're living day to day and you get married and you have children, mm-hmm. even if you don't have children, but you have your life together, you have responsibilities. One loses a job, one is struggling at the job. Like I went to look because I have to buy a bed. And she had a question, the sales lady. So she asked her superior, that person was nasty. You know, like you didn't do your homework and you're not up to par, really insulting her.
Right.
And I thought, wow, that's a hard place to work, a hard place to be. Mm-hmm. You know, that, and it goes on everywhere. So if you have a partner, a spouse who just came back from that kind of thing at work, they might snap at you and it might be that they're feeling bad. They were put down or it's so much happening in our lives. So love is a very big thing to really understand love. That's why I have something called the principle of love that I'll talk about later.
Yes.
In the moment. And then the last piece is really to study about a spiritual life. Study what it means that we're spiritual beings. Even if you don't really believe it, at least study it. Get a sense of what that means. And also get support from friends, healers, therapists, spiritual leaders, God, whoever you can reach out to for support. That support is huge when you're particularly when you're confused about something.
Yeah, definitely. So when we started this conversation, one of the things that you said was that we need to love ourselves. But for a lot of people, that's easier said than done. So how do we tangibly, in action, learn to love ourselves, genuinely love ourselves?
Yeah, well, we have to focus on what's good about us. What are our good qualities? What are our natural ways of being and doing things that other people benefit from? I mean, we all have those qualities. We don't always realize it because we compare ourselves. You can't help it. You go on Facebook and everybody's putting on a wonderful face. I've seen a few people that I've known. I knew them. I know their relationship is fighting. They're almost getting divorced or they're not married yet and they're not even sure if they should get married. Then they go on Facebook and she says, this is my prince. And this is, they say these beautiful things, but I know what's been going on. And so we're faced with that in the world. That's one thing that people put on a front.
Yeah.
You never know what anyone's going through because when people are depressed, they don't usually say it. They go out to a restaurant or somewhere and they're smiling and acting fine, but they're not.
Yeah.
We see it. So they're putting on a front. That's one of the things that's going on. But the other part about comparing yourself is that everybody has different support and different upbringing and different potential. Some have natural abilities. Some have a family that gave them whatever it is that they needed. Like if somebody wants to be a tennis pro, they need a family behind them to really make it to a high level. Maybe years ago, before the US Open, before it, this era with TV, maybe then you could make it on your own if you were aggressive. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, for almost anything, it's really hard to make it just on your own. So what's important to feel good about yourself is to choose people around you that support you and help you to get to a higher level, and let them in some ways maybe be ahead of you in whatever it is you're trying to do. That's why people work with a mentor or a coach, or anyone in a sport has a coach, because they wouldn't be able to do it alone. Someone outside of you can help you. But mainly it's really connecting with your own inner truth. And you said that before, really feeling, not ignoring the feelings. And if the feelings feel so upsetting, like the way I felt where I didn't know I'm going to live, I was in a state of anxiety.
Yeah, I was like a survival state.
Understood it. And I couldn't make it go away because the answer wasn't there yet. Yeah. I mean, I was attempting to use my spiritual awareness that it's going to be okay. I'm being guided.
And it is now.
And it did resolve. The end result will be better as long as I just stay calm. Because you can't always tell in the moment. The worst breakup, the worst ending can be the biggest gift, because that person, there's a reason you were fighting. There's a reason you were breaking up. Mm-hmm. There might be someone waiting for you that could really fulfill your dreams and be a better match for you. So you really need to understand how the world works, understand yourself, understand the other people, and surround yourself with lots of support.
Beautiful. So I'm excited to talk about some of your somatic practices and how we really bring all of this healing into the body. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about how does the healing power of touch work?
Well, touch, especially gentle touch, There's one gene that is only turned on through gentle touch. Yes. And so, so when I was talking about the brain and the gut and the heart, there are all these parts of the brain that can be out of balance. All of it can be out of balance, but we have the amygdala inside the brain that has to do with anxiety and fear, and the temporal lobe has the hippocampus, which has to do with memory, and the parietal lobe has two lobes have to do with sensations and vision and pain. So if any of those, any parts of our body are having a problem, there's these, it's like a cell phone with a seven-way conversation with the central autonomic nervous system, that all these parts have to communicate and the hormones have to flow, but they get blocked and the stress hormones might take over and you don't feel any of the other hormones. So the vagus nerve goes directly from the gut up to the brain, and it's a sensory pathway. So just with that information, you can understand that through gentle touch, it's almost the only way that you can quickly calm down the whole process that's going on. Mm-hmm. It's all it's not always all out of balance, but I had a friend who had an alcohol addiction, and I gave her a body therapy session, and she said it's the first time she felt relaxed, you know, without the alcohol. She was trying to stop, and she went into rehab and stuff, but there's many different methods for body therapy. And I had written this years ago when I wrote one of my books, and it's in Kindle. The Heal Me series, I have a Touch Me Please series and Heal Me series.
Okay.
So it's in one of those. And I can't think of the name of the particular book, but the different kinds of body therapy starts with traditional massage therapy, which was originally Swedish massage. Mm-hmm. And it's just basic massage techniques. You get undressed, you lie on a table with a sheet over you, and they use oils. Mm-hmm. And then they have expanded that to contemporary massage therapy, which includes chair massage and animal massage and medical massage. So animals get massages, horses get massages.
Okay. I was thinking the animal was massaged.
Oh, I think that would be wonderful.
I never thought that. Yoga before that.
Animal come up. Well, that's why people feel so good with their animal. The animal comes and licks their face.
Meeting.
The animal does touch you, but just through touching an animal, just through petting the animal, lowers your blood pressure, calms you down. They're very loving.
Yes. I have three fur babies right here, and I think that they are the whole cause of my sanity.
Absolutely. And then, so that's the basic massage. Oh, there's pregnancy massage too.
Okay.
And I think I said chair massage and infant massage. You know, they've expanded it to all different areas. Mm-hmm. But then there's structural, functional movement alignment integration techniques. And those include going to an osteopath, physiatry, physical therapy, chiropractic, applied kinesiology, and then some that you may or may not heard of, myofascial release, Rolfing, craniosacral therapy, Feldenkrais, reflexology, Alexander technique, manual lymph drainage. People may not know about that, but to prevent cancers and to alleviate symptoms, lymph nodes that are expanded, neuromuscular therapy, trigger point therapy, orthobionomy. There's hundreds of them because people study these and then they combine techniques and give it their own name.
Right.
So that's a whole group of structural methods. And then there's Asian body therapy methods, usually based on the meridians of the body, the 12 meridians that are affiliated with different organs, like the stomach meridian and the gallbladder meridian. And they're affiliated with emotions and colors and sensations. It's complex, and it really applies. And acupuncture, of course, but some of those are shiatsu and Thai massage. Thai massage is like a combination of yoga and acupressure. And Lomi Lomi massage, that was wonderful. I had that done in Hawaii inside a sauna. Like this beautiful work. And then I did something called Chundo Shun Bup, which was Korean body therapy.
Okay.
That was like a combination of Tai Chi and yoga. And then they would help you heal your relationship with your ancestors. There's so much that we don't understand. We are energy, and that energy goes back through the generations. We've taken energy maybe in our DNA, and we don't realize it, but we're carrying things from the past. So then we get to energetic therapies like Reiki and polarity therapy, shamanism, zero balancing, Barbara Brennan technique, pranic healing. So if you think there's only a few, theta healing.
Yeah, there's hundreds.
And then there's somatic, which isn't necessarily touching. Mm-hmm. There are things like music therapy and dance therapy. Through movement, you reveal all kinds of things. They do that with children, play therapy. Through the way they play, the emotions come out. Doesn't have to be talk therapy. Singing can be therapeutic. Mm-hmm. We have so much tightness in the throat, which is our expression and our communication with others. Through singing, that opens up through really training the voice, and art therapy and primal therapy, which was screaming. So, and hypnotherapy. So there's so much. And then we get to the main thing that I do, which is somatic body psychotherapy. So it's like psychotherapy and touch therapy, gentle touch, so that you lie on a massage table, you don't get undressed, you relax onto the table. It's very important for the practitioner to be relaxed so that they're not putting tension into you.
Yeah, of course.
feel what it's like to relax. And then you start to feel sensations in your body that you may never have felt, because if you're tightening and holding all tight, you might not feel that your stomach has tension. You might feel it up in your neck. But as that relaxes, you might feel somewhere else where you've been holding. So the body therapy helps you to let down, to just be present, to feel what's going on, focus on what's going on. And then we add the piece of adding a higher perspective to whatever's happening in your life. When you're in that relaxed and altered state with the gentle support of touch, the whole world looks different. And you see that same problem from another position. Yeah. That can happen in meditation. But if you're all stressed out and you're a type A personality and you're going, it's very hard to meditate. It's hard to sit still. So that's why having an outside person who's calmer, hopefully, touch you, the same with therapy, to have an outside person, outside coach or therapist to help you, it makes a difference. We can't do it all alone. And so touch therapy, and I was always loving touch therapy until COVID came along and I haven't been doing it.
Yeah.
I can't get back to it.
Yeah, it's so, so, so important, I believe, as we are all multifaceted beings, that in order for us to achieve true transformation, we really do need to be incorporating all of our facets. We need to be having a mind, body, soul approach to healing. And one of the problems I see with a lot of mainstream modalities right now is it's just one faceted. And so one of my intents with the summit is to really be introducing a lot of other ways for people to be doing healing work, to be working on their relationships aside from talk therapy. Talk therapy is great, but we also need to, you said, somatic practices like dance, allow emotion to follow the motion.
Yeah, a wonderful thing is for a couple to take dancing lessons together.
Yeah.
Or do yoga, whatever both are agreeable to, or Tai Chi, or I've been doing Qigong, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Because feel the energy. So if you approach your partner, if you've been doing Qigong, or both of you, and you approach with the energy and feel the energy from a distance and then touch, it's a lot different than going right in and touching.
Yeah.
Grabbing, you know, and feel, and also being tense while you grab. Mm-hmm. The person feels that. They've done studies on touch where a woman put her arm through, there was a barrier and she put her arm through, and a man would be touching her, supposedly showing love or showing anger. And she had a hard time interpreting.
Which was which,
because he might have had tension or whatever. And then the women did it with the men. It wasn't so easy to interpret the touch. If it was really gentle and the person's very relaxed, mm-hmm. you would know it. It would feel loving.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to learn. There's some, and I would say someone once said to have an apron large enough to cover your relationship. Mm-hmm. So you look at it as just the two of us. If you have a partner that you really love because you've grown up with this person or you've just known that person well, and then you find out they have a kinky part of their sexuality that you don't really like. If you really love that person, maybe there's a way to incorporate that. Mm-hmm. It may not be your preference, but you don't have to go telling all your friends and all your family and embarrassing the person. And then you stay with them anyway. So work on it with a therapist or with someone who can help you to come to terms. Is it something I could deal with or not?
Yeah.
And I just gave that as an example. It could be anything that you don't like.
Yeah.
Even that they have a way, like one person was living with somebody who is willing to stay in the place and not pay rent because he didn't like what the landlord had done. And she said, I can't be with someone who would do that, like judging his character. And mm-hmm. maybe she could. Maybe there's a reason that he's doing it and he has a certain way of he wants things to be a certain way and fair. You know, maybe if she looked at it another way, she could forgive him for thinking like that.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's perfect, and we need to drop the idea that our partner should act and behave in ways that we think is perfect, because
right.
When's the last time that you've ever had even a perfect conversation before? You know, like, there's no perfect. So
that's what we have to get. If you really love someone, love them, forgive them for the qualities that maybe you wished were different.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Well, I mean, on that note, this has been amazing and illuminating and expansive, and so many modalities that you shared that I'm sure the audience is going to be curious about trying. And I know they're going to want to stay in touch with you, and that you have an incredible free gift. Can you share with the listeners what that is?
Yes. I wanted to just mention that they can find my books on Amazon, that they're Kindle books, a lot of Kindle books. They're not expensive or anything. And you can find out more about the touch therapy. But the free gift is called The Principle of Love. I read this book, and I actually created a Kindle book of The Science of Being Well by Wallace D. Wattles, written in 1910. And he talks about the principle of health. And I saw that and I said, no, that's the same principle as the principle of love. It applied to love. And then it's like I was downloading all the sub principles. And what it really is, in the moment, what am I thinking? In other words, to be loving in every moment. So in this moment, you're with your partner, something just happened. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I perceiving? What am I expecting? What am I demanding? Mm-hmm. And also, what is that person perceiving, thinking, judging? And just go through that, and you'll be amazed what you discover. So you start becoming curious and ask yourself or ask the other person, and it calms down whatever has been going on.
Power of the pause. Yes, to do that inner work in those moments. So powerful. Thank you for that offering. That sounds amazing. And thank you so much, Dr. Erica, for being a special guest here today.
And thank you so much for creating this. It's a wonderful summit.
Oh, thank you so much. And to our listeners, more sessions will be delivered to your inbox tomorrow. Remember, you have access for a full 7 days after each interview is released. So please keep that in mind. Until then, a loving reminder that you have the power to create. Your power is so strong. You create yourself. You create your relationship. You create your whole reality. I am celebrating your ascension, and I am here to rise with you. And so it is.